Good morning, everybody. Let's call a meeting to order for this morning. This is the Council Budget Amendment briefing of September 15, 2008. We'll begin by an invocation. If I could call on one of our colleagues, Vontel Jones Hill, we will ask her if she would do the invocation for us. Thank you very much. Please rise.
Gracious God, Almighty God, all-powerful God, we, your created people, pause before you once again to say praise God and to say thank you, God, that you have brought us by this way one more time. God, I thank you that you have allowed us to come to this place unharmed and able to attend to the business of your city. I ask your choicest blessings upon every person gathered here this day. Likewise, God, I ask that you pour out your blessings upon this, our city. Be merciful to us. Guide us, give us wisdom, each and every one, as we attempt to do what is best for the people of our city. God, finally I ask you to touch each of us where we may be weakest. Heal us, build us up, make us better, that we may indeed be people of God. Amen.
Amen. Ms. Madrona, could you lead us to the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, again, good morning, and let me give you an overview of today's session. Our first item will be the public hearing, which of course we're required to do, to receive comments on the proposed property tax rate for the 2008-2009 fiscal year. After that, we'll go into our budget amendments, again with the objective of bringing the budget to a close. We made enormous progress if you think of where we were 3 or 4 months ago and where we are. I've had a chance to attend a number of the various town hall meetings on the budget across our city. And I would say in general, very positive comments. And again, we've gotten it down to just a relatively small amount on the budget itself. To go at that, what I'm first going to do after our public hearing is I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Natinsky. Mr. Natinsky, I know, has coordinated with each of us in terms of amendments and that sort of thing. He's pulled it together, at least in terms of a basic proposal that was distributed to all of you last Friday. So, Mr. Tinsky, what I'll ask you to do then is give an overview of that, kind of the pieces that go into it, and then we'll use Mr. Natinsky's proposal then as the framework for talking of any changes that we need to make from that. So with that, we'll proceed to the public hearing. Madam Secretary, could I turn it over to you then for that?
Yes, sir. Item number one is a public hearing to receive comments on the proposed 74.79 cents per 100 property tax rate for the 2008-09 fiscal year. Is there anyone in the audience at this time that would like to speak on the public hearing just announced into the record? Anyone? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. With that, let's then go into the amendment briefing. And Mr. Tinsky, with that, can I turn it over to you? As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Tinsky has pulled together the various amendments, and I know had a number of conversations.
Mr. Mayor, I apologize. I don't know where I am this morning. We do need to close the public hearing this morning, so we need action by the council to close the public hearing.
Mr. Cadane, can I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
It's been seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Public hearing is closed. Now with that, as I mentioned, Mr. Tinsky has pulled together proposals. All of those are included in the binder that was sent to us. So Mr. Tinsky, if you could, I'll turn it over to you. I believe he did. Or I know you attempted to. Okay. Okay. Mr. Tinsky, why don't we go ahead then, if you'll lead the discussion, we'll use your proposal, and we'll work off of that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to walk through this. I think everybody got a copy of it over the weekend. Try to give you a little bit of rationale as to how we arrived at this this particular recommendation. And I'm just going to go through it in the order that it's on the material that you received. There was a total of $2,737,916 in additional revenue that the manager identified. And what I did is go through specific communications that I received from council members of individual items that had been previously discussed at our budget workshops, and things that appeared brand new, right out of the blue, that had never been discussed before. Tried to use some judgment on the amount of discussion that we had on various items, and kind of put some weighting as to...
I'm going to interrupt just for a second. So you're going to be referring off of page 9, then, of the binder.
Okay, well, I don't have a binder, so...
Yeah, I believe if you'll go to page 8, there is a note from Mr. Natinsky,
right.
And then on page 9 is the proposal that we'll be working off of. Page 9, if you find your binder, Mr.
I'm on page 2, but I don't
two
know.
The same. They're the same. 2 and 9 are...
Okay. You got it. It says at the top, budget amendments as submitted by Council Member Natinsky. That's the page.
Page number 2 in your binder.
Okay. That's the page I'm working on. Tried to give some weightiness to the amount of time that we spent at the various budget workshops discussing various items, and use some judgment as to whether they seem to be important or not important. There's no pride of authorship here, but I think I've tried to do the best job I can in capturing everybody's best interest. So starting at the top, just in the order that they're ranked, obviously the zoo was a big issue item. Everybody wanted the one day put back, and with the help of the mayor and some conversations with the Zoological Society, instead of having to fund the entire amount to bring the day back, the Zoological Society agreed to cover $92,000 worth of that, and so that we allocated $250,000, which is the balance, to keep the zoo open another full day. Street maintenance is obviously something that we spent, in fact, almost an entire workshop on. So we brought back $500,000. Obviously, it's not everything that we cut, but it was an amount of money that staff felt that they could do make some efforts with. Because what happens is you go through a lot of these things. You can't fund part of an employee, and you can't fund part of a project. You need to try to fund as much, do it in increments to where you can accomplish something.
And I would like to reinforce that $500,000 that is above
right
the identified this, line of several years ago.
This goes
is in effect premium money.
Right. This goes back to the what we started last year in the budget to get ahead of ourselves, to get the 2010 streets project faster. So this puts us $500,000 in that direction. The iMedia contract, $50,000. There is a continuing thing with iMedia. Obviously, everybody's been involved in it for a number of years. And Madam Manager, while I'm talking about that particular thing, I think iMedia is one of those contracts that has not found itself pigeonholed anywhere yet. I think probably the closest place, but I'll certainly leave this up to you. Instead of being bounced around from library to cultural affairs to wherever, I think it probably needs to find itself a home, and if it's being treated like other cultural affairs, maybe that's where it ought to be. I just think it's, for all the years I've been familiar with it, it's PIO, it's this, it's that. It needs a home so that somebody will be responsible for it. The library materials and volunteer coordinator package, that was $234,000. That was restored completely. The new My Dallas Neighborhood Initiative, which is similar in a sense to a Momentum Project program. I think everybody got a handout explaining what that was. What we did there, we In fact, since this memo went out, I won't name it, but we believe we have a foundation that will match the $100,000 that the city is putting in, so that there's a $200,000 pot, of which then neighborhoods would match dollar for dollar, so you end up with a total $400,000 in spendable money that can be used for that program. The next was cultural affairs, and I don't know about y'all, but my inbox this morning had it was almost as bad as some other issues that we've had with emails wanting funding restored. We didn't restore it completely. Restored 539702, which is 80% of what was not funded before. And somewhere I've got my math here. It's actually of the total cultural affairs, it's 0.8%. So it's less than 1% that was not funded. Everything else has been restored. A partial restoration of the program we started last year, where we did a proactive sign maintenance program to, I think it was every 5 years, Mary, or was it seven? To try to get, 5 years, to try to get all the signs in the city on a proactive basis replaced as they fade and so forth and are knocked over. And this was partial funding, $500,000, so we could continue efforts in that area. Public information publications, this was to restore 50,000 of 110,000. This primarily goes to allow us to get the Dallas Delivers, which was a program we started this last year, continuing this year. The Senior Employment Initiative contract was funded in full, 38,672. The immunization outreach, 50,000 funded fully. The special HIV testing, 75 funded fully. The employee tuition reimbursement was funded fully at $200,000. That is not enough money, but that's the amount of money that we had said if we'd left below the line. And then the utility pay stations, in looking at the hours of use of the pay stations and the way they were being used and the amount of money that it was costing us, and I do have some information. I mean, depending on where you allocate, whether it's a water bill, whether it's a TXU bill or whatever, it cost us basically between $3.50 to $10.50 to collect every one of those payments. And in many cases, it cost us more to collect than the payment that we're collecting. What I'm recommending is that we leave it funded at $150,000 and have staff work up blocks of time every day, for example, and I'm just throwing this out. This is, let staff do it. You know, maybe it's open from 9 to 2 or whatever on a daily basis to where people can come in every day and make utilization of it instead of similar to what we're doing with 311, where we reduced our staff to 311 in the middle of the night because not very many people call. So it seems logical from a operational perspective that people over can adjust the time that they go in to pay their bills rather than having somebody sit there like the Maytag man all day waiting for someone to come in. So the total of all that is the $2,737,916, and so that balances the amount of additional revenue funds that we received, and that's what I'm recommending that we go for, putting it forward as a recommendation.
Right. Let's start using that as a base then. So that'll be the base of proposal that we talk off of, what Mr. Kaczynski just went through right now. And then why don't we go through and we'll have comments and then hopefully try to bring it to resolution. So again, well, because I think Mr. Kaczynski's done a lot of front-end work on it, and we've got to have something to start with, and I think that's a good place to start. Okay, so let me open it up for comments then. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you so much, Mayor. I think I can live with the reduced hours of operation as long as the pay stations are still open. For the most part, most of the seniors, and I can't speak for Steve area, but in District 7, especially in South Dallas, I think the seniors use that pay station more than anybody because there is no fee cost for them using that pay station. And so from my understanding, Mary is talking about 20 hours a week, and they're still kind of figuring that out. a couple hours in the morning and then a couple hours in the evening. So I don't have a problem with that. Long as the pay station is open and we can reduce the hours. The other thing I wanted to talk about, on 6 run, when you talk about restore 80%, was it at 100% at first?
Okay, well, this is restore 80% of the amount that was not funded.
Okay, okay.
So it was, let's see, I've got it here. It was...
So when you talk about restore, what part are you talking about to restore? Is that all the cultural activity or certain parts of it?
No, okay. The unfunded amount was $680,000.
Okay.
Out of many, many millions. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was out of $16,190,000. Okay. So this restores 80% of the... $680,000, so that's the $539,000. So it leaves an unfunded amount of $140,000 out of $16,190,000.
So 140 is unfunded, will be unfunded, but and then
right.
The 500.
But it's on a prorated basis.
Okay, so of that 500, what programs would that cover? I'm just trying to overall
cover. Well, it's all programs.
All
everybody
programs
will get a few less.
It, what will happen is it will go back through the staff, then to the Cultural Affairs Commission with recommendations to y'all.
Okay.
The cut that we made was just kind of across the board, but we'll go back to the staff through the Cultural Affairs Commission and say, here's where we'd recommend that little bit of a cut happening.
Okay. What about people helping people? I know that was something that my colleague Von Seal wanted to...
It's funded. It's funded.
That was funded earlier. It moved. Well, it's not on there because it moved.
It was already
on
earlier.
So it's above the line. Okay.
So
it's above the line. Okay. Mary, what about on our housing part of it? We were talking about the housing trust fund. Have we decided how we're going to do that so our chattels can lease, where we can keep funding going somehow for our chattels? Have we talked about that?
There's no additional funding in that. There is. We are bringing programs to you through the Quality of Life Committee about various housing programs, but there's not additional funding this year for that.
Okay. So what will the chattels get at this point? Will it seem to be the same amount of money that they didn't get in?
Yes, I believe so, but let me check.
Okay, and so, AC, what is that so far?
That funding comes through the community development. It's about $500,000 that we have allocated for that purpose.
Okay, and through our housing, I'm not finished, AC. Through our housing trust fund, what are we trying to do with that?
We have, in briefing to the Housing Committee, mentioned a number of different strategies, among them including in future bonds, having money set aside for the funding of that for that particular purpose, if we can find a way of making that happen. We've also been looking to identify other funding, whether or not it's federal money, endowment money, etc., or even the use of the general fund, if that would be possible in the future.
I think to your question, as we've talked about that housing trust fund, quote unquote, the anticipation would be that we would include in the 2010 bond program. That's what we alluded to at the meeting at the Executive Airport, and the Housing Committee under Mr. Salazar has addressed a number of different times. But that's really the anticipation, is that the challenge that we have in housing is really a capital expense, not very appropriate under an operating budget, which is what we're dealing with there. We need to really create that capital pool, and that capital pool would have to come out of a bond program.
Okay, AC, can you come and brief me on some of those items?
Yes, ma'am.
As Vice Chair of Housing, because I have no problem with the 2010 bond, as long as we're making sure that those nonprofits that are building affordable housing can at least have some way of sustaining the housing, their general operating budget.
Yes, ma'am.
I have one more on the that's it. I'll just come back. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Garcia, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And And this is a very good amendment, Mr. Natinsky. My hat off to you. We really had a lot of, I mean, at least in the town hall meetings that I have, one with Mr. Newman and the one in my district, people were, you know, supporting the zoo, the seniors, iMedia, great friend, a wonderful event, Mr. Carwood, by the way, Saturday, very early for me, but wonderful event. Of course, HIV, which continues to be a problem in the minority community and growing expediently. So I think that I am very, very happy to see that part, and I know you and I discussed it, and I'm very glad that we were able to put it back. Employee tuition reimbursement is, in my opinion, extremely important. We want our workforce to continue to educate themselves if they really want to. I mean, for our workforce mayor, I think it's fantastic that we help them. Immunizations, and of course, it has the additional street maintenance that I think all of us got an earful about cutting that. I'm delighted to see the zoo. Of course, what can I say? It's in my district with Mr. Carraway. So, and Mayor, thank you so much for talking to the Zoological Society. I talked to Mr. Meadows, and he says he will be more than happy as long as we put the money. And of course, what can I say about the library? The volunteer coordinator is an essential position, and the multicultural programs are really good. And I noticed that several of my colleagues in the other amendments, very concerned about the utility pay station, so I think it's a good middle of the road to still have them even with the reduced hours of operation. And as Mr. Natinsky mentioned, we've been getting a lot of emails about cultural affairs. Ms. Davis and I had the great pleasure to open the season for TICO, the 2008 season of TICO in the beautiful Tyler Street in Bishop Park this weekend. And I have to say, Mayor, everybody that approaches, just tell me, just restore as much as you can for the budget. I think the 80% not cutting any of the programs is a great, it's a great step forward. So, with that, Mayor, I noticed there were other, other items in other amendments that are really good. For example, Mr. Newman, the inspection program for boarding homes. Ooh, I love that one. But we're still in the middle of the process and trying to unify all these boarding homes, hotels, et cetera, et cetera. So at this point, I think that probably that will be a very good item for next year, Mayor. And the sources of funds from Mr. Rosensky's amendment are excellent. However, we never know exactly how much we're going to get. So that made me a little worry about some of that, Mr. Rosensky, but the sources are excellent, very, very good. And I know the city auditor has mentioned it several times. So, Mayor, I think Mr. Salazar gets taken care in some of his, in the utility pay stations, and, you know, sadly we haven't moved enough the Citizens Development Center. So with that, I am going to support this amendment, Mayor. I think it's a good one and addresses most of the concerns that we hear from the public in our, especially in my town hall meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I just have a couple of questions. Number one, on the additional street maintenance, and we were talking about, you know, that probably is $4.2 million to do the street maintenance, and that below the line. And we also were talking about that it would cost us probably $1 million if we do not do that. So this $500,000 we are putting back in the budget, would that increase our cost going forward for 1 year? Are we going to save some money, about $500,000?
If we, as we said before, it's helpful to get some additional funding. Also, if we believe the impact will be minimal if we only do it 1 year, and we'll be back in the next year's budget recommending to restore that. So,
I don't think that's my question. My question was that we got $4.2 million plan on doing that. If we do not spend the $4.2 million, it's going to probably cost the city $1 million without doing that because of increasing costs. That would prevent us in the last presentation. So I'm saying with the $500,000 we put in industry maintenance, is that going to save us a cost for going forward with this maintenance?
In this year's budget, we covered the increase in cost. I don't know that we had exactly how much the increase in cost would occur for not spending this $4 million, but we kind of don't have a choice about that. And this will lower it, but it won't eliminate it.
A second question is number one on the utility pay station. It's when staff go back and address the utility pay station, are they going to do a survey and see what time of the day that the seniors are going to come in to pay their bill? Because some seniors get up early in the morning, some seniors probably get up in the afternoon. I try to make sure they do address kind of survey. You know?
Yeah, we do have numbers of when people come in, and you know, just off the top of my head right now, I would envision, you know, morning a couple of days a week, afternoon a couple of days a week, 20 hours a week, so that we could hit people's schedules. And we'll do good. We'll look to see when people are coming in, and we'll do a good informational campaign to be sure they know when it's open.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. McDonald, please.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions on the utility pay stations. I know that you were going to take a survey as to where or what time and what days the seniors come in, and then maybe you could work with the West Dallas when Martin Luther King's open. Maybe West Dallas wouldn't be open, and the hours, so there will always be available, a pay station available, whether it's in West Dallas or at Martin Luther King, but it would be open for the seniors. Had another question on additional street maintenance. Then on the $500,000, will that set us back at all then?
Let's talk about the streets for a second, just so that we make sure. The amount that is budgeted before this $500,000 is exactly the amount that we would anticipate needing for streets to achieve those objectives that were set several years ago. The 85%, continuing to address past deferred maintenance, but to get the streets at that level that we want. So that's what the existing budget has. Last year, we inserted some extra dollars just to kind of push it a little bit further and harder. So in effect, this $500,000 is a little bit is those dollars to push it a little bit further, a little bit harder, not to the amount that it was last year. So it's
correct.
A less amount, and that's why I use the word, Mr. Natinsky, the premium. It's really a premium above what we would need to do to meet all of our objectives that were set several years ago, deal with the increased cost. This gives us some extra dollars to be able to push it a little bit further and address something that maybe we wouldn't address for something that was 2 years out or something.
And I guess just to drill down a little bit more, then do we have the priority list for the $500,000?
Would not we have a priority list we've been following? We would continue to follow.
Just follow
we
that
wouldn't
list.
Make a new priority list. We'd
no,
just
no.
Start, yeah,
correct.
It'll push some that would have been later into
right.
this year.
Okay. Let me see.
Good question.
I think,
and it's important to clarify that one.
I think that's important. I want to thank Mr. Natinsky. He took some time out of his schedule to meet with each one of us, either via the phone or in person, to capture what was communicated to us via all the town hall meetings that we had throughout the city. And he captured mine. The cultural affairs absolutely has to be restored. The Senior Employment Initiative contract, that was mentioned on all four of my town hall meetings. The special HIV testing as well. Employee tuition was very important as well. So I want to just, on record, thank you, Mr. Natinsky, for your leadership. Thank you for meeting with us, each of us individually.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me kind of piggyback on Mr. Natinsky. He does tremendous work, and then you do tremendous follow-up and inclusion. So just want to kind of peg on that. On the pay station, I'm very supportive of that, and I do understand the fact that we're cutting back to 20 hours. But with those 20 hours, Madam Manager, let's try to figure out, and Councilman Atkins hit on it, the time that folks
okay, yeah.
pretty much pay those bills.
Right.
But one other thing I'd like for us to be a little cautious on, and that is that in the late evening, if some of these folks get their lights cut off for whatever the reason or the utilities, they may turn them off at 2, 3 in the afternoon, and then they the only recourse that they have is to go to some of those pay stations to pay the bill to get them back on. So let's, I don't know how we do that, if we coordinate somewhere with TXU or the utility folks,
yeah.
but I just need to be a little sensitive to maybe have a window hour in the evening after they get off. So some people get off work.
Yeah, they're not handling it that way right now, and we'll be sure that we leave that path open for folks.
Okay, well, we leave it, and that would be good. The seniors and the $38,000, I think, at each and every one of our town halls, that was expressed, and so that's there. And our media, of course, I really appreciate that. And then the streets, all of this is pretty much where we are. So, Mr. Natinsky, I'm very supportive of it, and Mr. Newman, I'll be listening for you as well. Okay, thank you.
Terrific. Mr. Carey, thanks. Before I go on, I'd like to recognize Susan Cherrier and Ed Palmer in being in the audience. Susan heads up our library board, and that also serves on that. We appreciate both of you being with us today, but more importantly, your service on the library board. Some good things happening over there. Mr. Rozanski, please.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, thank you. Colleagues, good morning. I heard one council member say something about my sources. I don't know what you meant by that. And I want to be able to prove them up. You know, colleagues, these are very tough times, especially what's happened over the weekend. I surely don't run a business where I put my head in the ground like an ostrich and don't look. We just have to go with caution. And caution is in the wind in the whole world, because believe it or not, we are in a recession in the United States and elsewhere. These are not good times, and we have to go with caution on where we spend the money, how we spend the money, what projects we do. Mr. Mayor, are you asking us to make comments on Mr. Natinsky's amendments or go to our amendments?
I'm asking you to use Mr. Natinsky's as the base. Because I think, again, if we use this as the base, and then there can be suggestions and almost amendments to that, that will at least give us a base.
I understand. But, you know, I want everybody here to be able to go over their amendments. Everyone.
That's what people are doing now.
And to use one as a base, you know, that's your prerogative, if that's what you want to say. But I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. What I'd like to see is, how much does all this add up to? How much does all these amendments add up to without talking about the source of funds? It's around $13 million.
Well, you can't do that because there's double count in the number of
Mr. Mayor, everybody looks at business in different ways. You look at it one way, and I look at it another way. Everybody looks at business different ways. I would have liked to have seen that. But let's talk about Mr. Natinsky. Do you want to say what we agree with or what we don't agree with?
However you'd like to do it. If you'd like to propose
on the additional street maintenance of $500,000. You know, Councilwoman Davis, I believe one of her amendments was $4.2 million. Was that correct on the street? You wanted to question the street?
That's accurate.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was $4.2 million. And I really have a problem with taking that $4.2 million from our streets. Even though our streets are rated X and different districts are rated X, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Is some of that money going to finance the schematic drawings of a building in Dallas, which is around $4 million? Is that, you know, we can hide this any way we can, but here we're taking money from our streets, and we're putting $4 million, same amount of money almost, into a project, a building project, for a developer in the city of Dallas that we might be building during these very, very skeptical times. I have a problem with that, big time. I have a big problem with taking our street money away to speculate on a building project. On the cultural affairs, We're restoring 80% of cultural affairs reductions. I still think we need to take a look on the policy that we have. I think we need to take a strong look on a policy we have. And, Mr. Cook, please tell me where I'm wrong. I think we have to put in 0.7, 3/4 to 1 1/4 on any capital improvement, somewhere around that, within 25 basis points, somewhere.
In that neighborhood, yes, sir.
In that area.
It's a little complicated, but yes.
And City of Dallas did how much in capital improvements last year? Approximately.
$several hundred million.
$several hundred million. At 1%,
yes.
That is a whole lot of money. A whole lot of money. We need to take a look at that. We need to take a look at some of these cultural improvements on where they are going, especially in an environment as of today. Love restoring the zoo back how it is. I think our seniors, senior employment initiative contract, and we have something coming up on our next agenda meeting about seniors. I don't think we're giving enough money, allocating enough money to seniors in the City of Dallas. And there's a couple of other social needs that I really think we need to step up a little bit more. Pay stations, I haven't seen any figures on the income that they're bringing in and the expenses on each pay station. I just haven't seen that. If I did, I want to apologize that I might have missed it, but I would like to see that.
I'll come back and address that later. There's some distributed, I'm going to touch on that later.
Yeah, I would like to see that. The Senior Employment Initiative contract, I'm not so sure that's enough money. The reduced estimate of jail contract expenses, I think I brought that in one of my amendments up a couple of years ago. I'm glad to see some of that being initiated. I'm really good to see that. When was this printed up?
Yeah.
Is it dated? When was it sent to us?
It was distributed probably the middle of last week, if I'm guessing right.
Middle of last week. Okay.
But it was distributed to everybody.
Okay. Other than that, I have a problem with that cultural affairs reduction, restore that, and this media contract, I tell you, I don't think we should be getting in that business. I have a big question mark on that. So that's what I'm talking about on that. Now, if you want to go, are you asking me to go to my amendment, or Mr. Newman is in front of me? Tell me how you want to go.
Using Mr. Nitinsky, if you think you want to propose changes, in other words, to say, I believe that we should, and I'll give you an example based on your words, eliminate iMedia contract to that $50,000 and then instead increase the Senior Employment Initiative contract, then give me those suggestions, and we haven't had any of those yet, but we'll note those. I'll treat those as amendments to the proposal that we have,
Mayor,
and then we'll go through them because we've got to find an agreement.
I look
at
the budget a little bit different. If you take everybody's amendments and you see what it adds up to and where we're going to get the money on the other hand, and work from there. I don't like your proposal. That's just my opinion. I'm one person here. I don't think that's the way to approach it. I think we need to take everybody's amendment. I think we need to take, Mr. Newman thinks that's very funny, but you know, I don't. I think it's very seriously. Take that very seriously. So that's one way that I think.
Mr. Zansky, is if you want to make an amendment to the proposal, then please do.
My proposal, if that's what you're asking, I'm for the restoring the zoo closure. I'm for that absolutely.
Give me changes that you'd like to make to this. In other words, to say I want to take iMedia out and I want to put the $50,000 in senior. Then we can work through that, but we've got to have a framework.
The $250,000 to restore the zoo for the one day that is suggested we close. Is that what you're saying?
Christmas.
Well, if you agree with that, then you don't need to say anything. It's the ones where you disagree with.
Thank you.
Give me the alternative.
Okay. So street maintenance, if it's $500,000, I really think that ought to be $4 million.
Okay. Then there's $3.5 million that needs to come out somewhere. I just need to know that. So add $4 million to streets, and then where would the 3.5 come from?
What I said a few minutes ago. You know, maybe we need to look at where we're putting $4 million somewhere else.
The challenge with that, Mr. Zansky, is it's not coming out of the same bucket. That's going to be
all coming out of
it. It's not. It won't be. This is coming out of the operating budget, the operating fund.
And where is the $4 million?
That will actually be coming out of bond funds and then reimbursed. So you won't see it on the operating budget. So you won't see it on the operating budget. You won't see it on the operating budget.
Boy, I'll tell you one thing. If that's coming out of the bond funds, I sure wish somebody would do a referendum on that thing. I sure
wish let's go back. It's not coming out of the operating budget. Let's focus on the operating budget.
I think the media contract, I don't like that, putting $50,000 back in that thing.
Okay, so iMedia out.
Yeah. I really, the cultural affairs, the 80%, the 539, we get down to it as short as we are if we switch that, I think.
I'm sorry, Mr. Zansky, which one were you talking about?
Cultural affairs.
Okay. And what did you want to do with that?
The whole thing.
Out?
The whole thing out, except something that staff needs to do very quickly and bring back to council. Where we have in our ordinances how much we're supposed to be spending. So that's a different amount that I have.
Okay, now in terms of what you're speaking about there, Mr. Zansky, that, again,
call
that's...
Call it $500,000. Call it $500,000.
Okay, I've noted the 539, but you made one more comment. Let me just address it. You are very free. The other piece that you're talking about is not in the operating budget. It's in the capital budget. There is rightly or wrongly, but there is an ordinance that the council passed years ago that puts it in. That doesn't touch this. It touches capital funds. You are free, though, if you'd like to see that reconsidered, to make that proposal to reconsider that policy. I mean, we can reconsider it, re-vote on it, and change it if we want to, eliminate it and or change it. But again, for our conversation today, it doesn't touch on it, but you're free to bring that up if you'd like to see that policy altered.
That's the problem we have here. We're spending millions out of capital funds, and they've all the cultural affairs, if we've got $100,000 put in for cultural arts for a police station or a fire station, that all comes out of the bond funds that finance that project, is that correct?
The Percent for Arts programs comes out of bond funds, yes, sir.
Okay.
But again, capital.
And, of course, the interest that we pay on those bond funds, that comes out of?
Those are retired by property taxes.
That's right. That comes out of
property taxes.
That's right. So that comes out of the general fund. There's so many ways to look at this, how the city is.
But I'm just saying, if you'd like to reconsider that, it ought to be put in front of us.
The traffic sign maintenance program is that's fine. Public information. I went over this over the weekend, and I have just those three things.
Okay. So what I will do then is we'll put down when we get done with everything. Mr. Zansky will offer an amendment that we'll take, and I'll try to do this. To eliminate the cultural funds of 539. Eliminate the iMedia 50. That's $589,000,
yeah.
And that will all go into streets.
Yeah.
So that will increase the streets.
Okay.
Is that fair? Is that fairly represented?
Do that.
Okay. Okay. So we'll hold that one, and we'll just come back to that, and we'll do a straw vote, and we get all done.
Okay. Is that now go to mine? Is that what you're saying?
However you'd like to do it, Mr.
Well, I can go to mine, but Mr. Newman's is for me. Okay. Let's go to mine. Colleagues, I'm sure you didn't bring it with you, but I passed out 3 or 4 weeks ago my budget amendments that I want to thank the
auditor. I think they're all in here, Mr. Zansky. I think they're all in the binder.
Beginning on page 11.
I passed out.
Beginning on page 11. We copied that.
I understand.
Okay.
But I passed this out July the 28th. Pay adjustments for sanitation day laborers. You know, we had executive meetings on this, why we can or cannot do, and that's still in limbo. And funding for the city pools, did that go back in, or are we still...
The pools are fully funded.
Okay, so that's fully
funded. That was dealt with a couple weeks ago.
Okay, on my source of funds, if you want to turn my source of funds... Yeah. Well, that's what I'm on. On the source of funds, on the non-salary, that's... If we wanted to go... If we went back to each of the departments... To take a look at cutting the expenditures, doesn't have to do with code compliance, doesn't have to do with salaries, but if we went back and asked each department to cut 2%, that's $29 million. If we just ask them to cut 1%, it's around $14.5 million. To me, that can be done. Otherwise, we're just going to leave money on the table. Number two, tipping fees of McComas Bluff landfill. You know, this is my eighth time here, and I've been hearing it from sanitation every year that when we raise our rates, we're going to lose business. I've been hearing it for years and years and years. And I did a study. I asked someone at City Hall to do a study on our competitors, what they're charging for landfill. Let me just read you some. City of Arlington is $30 a ton. Louisville is $30 a ton. City of Garland is $30 a ton. City of Melissa is $31 a ton. City of Duncanville uses Ferris's landfill. Grand Prairie is $32 a ton. Irving is $40 a ton. The city of Mesquite, right close to ours, has no landfill, only a convenience center, only if you are a resident of Mesquite. City of Lancaster uses Dallas's landfill. City of Hutchinson uses Dallas's landfill. And the city of DeSoto uses Ferris's Skyline landfill. And the city of Grand Prairie, which is $32 a ton. Now, I've been hearing, and it's been reported to all of you, that we're going to lose business that when we raise our fees there. Let me show you the income on our landfill. This is from the city auditor's office. In the last 6 years, through raising our rates, starting at $15 a ton to $19 a ton, our income has gone from $10,000,436 to $17,355 from our city auditor's office. And I see our sanitation lady kind of confirming that. Director, excuse me, shouldn't have said lady. I'm sorry, director. Lady, I had lady and director, same thing, I'm sorry. But let me tell you, all of these proposals that we have done through the years, and staff has gone back and told us we're going to be losing business. That isn't so. We've gone from $10 million to $19 million to $17,355,000. The average rate in the city of Dallas, around here and the surrounding cities, is $26 a ton. Study I asked the city auditor's office to do. For every dollar that we raise, it brings in $1.4 million. And if we raise our landfill prices just $4, we would still be 50% less than the average. It would bring in $4 to $5 million. So what we're doing is just, in my opinion, a very poor way to do business. The figures that I gave you are absolutely what they are. So when we're supposedly losing money every time we raise, I don't see losing money going from $10 million to $17 million losing money. So That's my proposal. On number three is billing for EMS, treatment and transport services. You know, we pay a collection agency, and Dave, I keep hating to use that word. What would you call it, an agency?
They're a collection firm. They do our billing and collections for EMS.
We pay a collection agency around $2.5 million a year.
And let me just differentiate. They do not just collection agency. Sometimes denotes delinquency.
I know, and they do the billing.
They do the initial billing as well.
They do the billing. But how much do we pay them?
It's in the neighborhood of a couple $1 million.
It's a neighborhood of $2 to $3 million.
Very complicated billing.
All I'm saying is some of that billing could be handled ourselves. Period. It could be handled ourselves. Number four is reallocation of capital improvement programs. You know, when we do capital improvements, we have a 10% retainage, colleagues. And in that fund, we have around $6.5 million. That for some reason, it's around $6.7 million. Ask the auditor to do a audit on it. It's somewhere in that vicinity. For some reason, whatever it is, these are things that have been closed out. This money is just sitting there. It's not doing anything. It is just sitting there. We could take that half of that money and pay down the bond issue and save X number of dollars. The flip side of it, I'm hearing, well, we want that to stay in there because if we have future overruns, we can use those funds. And I don't really buy something like that. Merge and the environmental and health services or the Office of Environmental Services, merge human resources with civil service. I understand our city manager's reluctance to do so, but that is one thing we really could be doing. We have a collection of unpaid multi-tenant property inspection fees, around $500,000. This multifamily, we have to have permits every year. For multifamily operations, we have to renew our permits on a yearly basis.
So we have to what?
Multifamily unit.
I'm sorry, we have to do what?
We have to renew permits every year.
And we don't renew permits if they're delinquent on these fees, though.
We
deny the renewal.
We have to really get down and collect these fees. Talking about it for a couple of years. The warrant roundup, we are doing that. The sexually oriented business dancer employee permit fee. These are the dancers that we have at the SOBs. The clubs consider these people to be subcontractors. And I think it's the right thing to do, like other cities are beginning to do, is ask these people to fill out an application, have health checks every year, and to find out if they have any criminal background, and also pay a fee. Anytime we can run these people out of Dallas, we need to be doing this. Reduce home storage for city vehicles, and I understand, Mary, we are doing that. Okay, that's good. And the armored car service route efficiency. This is there in our city charter. We have to deposit the funds within 24 hours. And what we're doing, and this came from our armored car services, they said, we don't understand why you're doing this, asking us to do it on a daily basis. We can do it on 24 hours, and it will save us $134,000. This is from the armored car contract that we're using. So, colleagues, those are my amendments, and I stand behind them, and I think we're losing money by not raising our fees at McComas Bluff higher, and we go back to our departments and at least get a 1 to 3% reduction in our departments. And Ms. Watkins, you're looking at me. We're all departments, you know, even city council. But go back to all departments, ask them to take a look, and just try to cut 1 to 2% off of our operating, starting with the city council office. So these are tough times. We need to be very careful how we spend the money, and those are my amendments, and they run from around $45 million to $60 million. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We come back with other amendments to that. I've got two then. One will be the eliminate the cultural and the iMedia and replace that in streets. We'll do that as one. And then two is we'll pick up and we'll pull on all the others as a group. Is that okay?
Thank
Good.
You.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Natinsky, you, and I am working from page two, Mr. Natinsky.
Page two.
Yes, Mr. Natinsky. Mr. Natinsky, you did a very, very good job of pulling together the things that were identified in all of the town hall meetings. Thank you for your work and your effort on that. The two things that came up most at my five town hall meetings were the street maintenance and the cultural arts. Some other things came up, but those were the things that I heard over and over and over. Our streets in District 5 are not at as high a percentage level of satisfaction as we would like. We are grateful to the streets people that we were able to pull some things forward this year. Mr. Mears, we recognize that you worked with us, and we're very grateful for that. We are, in District 5, are very happy to see this $500,000 in additional street maintenance. It would be good if it were more, but I recognize that we only have so much money to spend, and I think this is a good allocation. The cultural arts, that 80% restores almost all of what was left out, and that we are happy with. The employee tuition reimbursement, as Dr. Garcia said, is good for our employees, and I'm glad to see that. On the pay stations, that was not as big as much a conversation in my town hall meetings as some others. I did have some comments, but not a lot of conversation. But Ms. Mitrano, I don't think the idea of flipping West Dallas and MLK resolves the comments that I heard. I didn't hear a lot, but the comments were particularly addressed to MLK, and that was to make sure that those seniors at MLK had specific hours. And so to address that, flipping MLK and West Dallas really doesn't resolve what I heard. Although, let me repeat, that was not a big issue in my town hall meetings. I just had a couple of comments on that. Mr. Rosansky, I noticed that you only went through the first 10 of your proposed amendments, the ones that you had submitted that comprised pages 11 through 29 of our book. I'm not asking you to talk again. Please don't misunderstand. But I noticed that you only went through the first 10. Are those the only ones that you want us to consider?
No, ma'am. If I did, I made an error.
All right. So you want us to, and please understand, Mr. Rosansky, I did read the packet. I read the packet that you gave us in the summer, the one that you held up, and I read what's in the book. Again, let me repeat. I do not need you to tell it to me again. I understand what's in here. I just wanted to make sure that I was considering what you wanted me to consider. Mr. Natinsky, again, my compliments and my thanks for what you did. Mr. Mayor, those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hill. Appreciate that. Mr. Cadane, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, too, Ron, for your hard work on this. I think it's very good. I think it's citywide. I think these amendments are. I think they're good. I've heard some of the same things at my town hall meetings. Ms. Singh, on our, well, I can ask Dave, on our sources of funds, we're okay with these?
Yes, sir. We've gotten additional sales tax information, so we recommend raising the estimate. Our sales tax information from June was more than we expected, so it has this impact. There's some fee changes that just recently came from a fee study, and then we got notified by the county after we submitted our budget to you that our contract jail expenses would be less next year than we thought. So we're fine with those sources.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What if we did District 14, 10, and 9 and moved our recycling forward this year, would that increase it even more?
It can't. Okay, it has to be done. It's not by council districts. It's done by the regions that we described in those maps. So are you talking about the northeast region?
Yes, yes.
That would lower your rate, your monthly rate increase.
Okay. So
it wouldn't be $1.45. It would be $1.20-something,
okay.
I think.
All right. That was my question. Okay, thank you, Dave. Okay, I'm for the amendments that we've got to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Patank.
Yes, Mr. Matensky's amendment.
Mr. Newman? Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, colleagues. Ron, there he is over there. Ron, I thank you very much for your leadership in pulling together the council and herding the cats in the litter box, so to speak. Question for you, Mary. Well, you know, okay, question for you, Mary. On August 13th, you gave us a memo talking about new revenue sources, 3-4 pages.
Yes.
Have any of these sources been further flushed out in order
The ones that are included in the budget, we are issuing RFPs and working on ordinance changes, and we are moving ahead. We are assuming that that you will approve them in inclusion in the budget.
Okay, but you had listed 53. But
well,
were any of these 53? None of these 53 are in the
budget
that's in front of us.
If the list you've got is the list of the crazy ideas, no. Included in the budget, I don't know what piece of paper you have.
It's your memo.
I know, but I write one or two a day, so.
Well, it's your memo that said new revenue source ideas. We had asked after you had mentioned that.
A wild idea.
Doesn't say crazy on it, but it's... Well, I need that back too, Mary, but okay. Yes, creative ideas. Didn't say crazy. Okay, well, there's some interesting ones on there. Okay, that's precisely my point. So this August 13th memo from the manager to the council is in response to your comment to us that there were unique revenue sources that were not included. We all said, well, what would they be? So these 53...
And they were looked at and rejected for various reasons, everything from legality to... they wouldn't produce the revenue that we initially thought, so there, you don't have any analysis of those there.
Understood, but many of them, I'd say half of them, say department analyzing. Half of them say they're still being analyzed.
You just need more time to look at them.
Well, not for this budget, for the upcoming year.
Yeah. I'm with you. That's what I'm tracking as far as...
Yeah, the first look would have been probably not a good idea, and some of them we said, okay, we'll still look a while longer.
Okay. So you and your team are in the process of still looking at these 53 on a going forward basis.
Probably in the next year, yeah.
Okay. All right. So that answers that question. Thank you. Mitchell, the memo that the manager spoke of that she sent to us was August 22nd about the pay stations. I just wanted you had mentioned that. It's referenced on page 2 in the memo. I just wanted to make sure for the staff and so forth. So that was distributed and so forth. Okay. Council members, I very much am supportive of Ron's proposal. My proposal on page 3, as well as the memo that I wrote to the council on page 10, was issued after or kind of concurrent with Ron's, with Mr. Natinsky's, so they mirror very closely. There's one unique distinction that I've emailed you all about as well, and that is a provision for $100,000 for the Trinity River Corridor project for our information and engagement of citizens, similar to the PIO's efforts and Dallas Delivers.
If indeed we say that the Trinity River Corridor Project,
are you looking for the?
Okay. If indeed we say that the Trinity River Corridor Project is the number one public works project that touches all lives and citizens throughout our city, we need to do a better job communicating and being more proactive in communicating to citizens, neighborhood organizations, and groups in making sure they're involved and engaged in the project. And so one of the things, when appropriate, Mayor, that I will ask for is $100,000 that will be allocated. And in talking with the manager, she said that would get us roughly two publications, similar to the Dallas Deliver format and so forth, that would be able to effectively communicate to citizens. This would be AKA our efforts on recycling and the money we put into promoting and publicizing recycling and those efforts. The same thing with Dallas Water Utilities as it relates to water conservation. So at the appropriate time, I'll ask for $100,000 for
this
that.
This is the time that I need to ask you the follow-up question that says, okay, what would you change to get that $100,000?
Well, I was almost hoping that Mary would come up with one of these 53 items in the additional revenue stream, but
I think she said no.
I know, but I'm glad for.
I need you to come back, though, and say, where does the 100? Because we've got to do the balancing.
Understood, and absolutely, and that's one of the things that I did say, that I'm glad that we are a balanced budget and so forth. I would take $50,000 away from the restoring the proactive traffic sign maintenance and $50,000 away from the additional street maintenance. Because I think the impact, colleagues, of the proactive engagement with our citizens on the Trinity River Corridor Project, it will be significant compared to the $50,000 reduction in those two categories.
That's the third proposal that
yep.
I noticed.
The other thing that I want to make sure that colleagues are aware of at the bottom of page two is, and this is a comment that I made during our presentation on recycling and the sanitation department, was a phase two expansion of residential garbage recycling for District 3 in Oak Cliff. And this is a step out. I think it's 500 houses that would be included in this process and starting the recycling effort for a little bit farther south in Oak Cliff. Thank you, Mayor.
I appreciate that, Mr. Newman. Ms. Hunt, please. He did. His proposal was to add 100,000 for Trinity River publications, and then 50,000 would be removed from sign maintenance, and 50,000 for, I'm sorry, took the proactive, and then 50,000 for street maintenance. So then street maintenance would go down to 450, the additional 450.
Penny from this.
And he did add a penny to the garbage rate.
And I'm going to show that as a fourth one. I'll split those out. I'll split those out. 1 second. I'm sorry. Please go ahead. This up.
We ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I've handed everyone a copy of my proposed amendment, and I understand that Mr. Natinsky may have spoken to the other members of the council, but he never came to talk with me about that. So I don't think that District 14 concerns are displayed in this proposed omnibus recommendation from Mr. Natinsky. Colleagues, what I did, I've been going through the budget over and over and over again, going through the line items, putting it in different ways in spreadsheets to try to understand it better. And one of the things that came out to me, and one of the things I did, was go through each of the bids from the budget and look at the service items that increased the most from last year. And instead of increasing them by hundreds of thousands of dollars, instead, I look back at what we actually spent last year, and I recommend that we simply increase those specific amounts by inflation. So let's go back to what we spent last year and just add 3% for inflation rather than significantly increasing these things. This wouldn't be necessary for some of these if this weren't such a tight budget year, but it is. And what I heard from my residents is, do not cut the basics, improve on the basics. And I've heard that every single year. And so
you know, we can quickly go through this traffic sign fabrication. It was proposed to be increased fairly significantly, and I suggest we decrease it back to last year's actuals plus 3%. Same thing with the public information office. I think that we can make do with what we spent last year plus inflation. Audits, reviews, and investigations, again, I think we can make do. City council meeting support. Colleagues, we have dozens and dozens of people sit back there every day, and I can't imagine how interesting this must be for all of these folks sitting here. And also, you know, who the folks who are in the back room when we have our council meetings. But it seems to me that we could reduce that. Office of Financial Services, both the citywide operating budget development and monitoring and the capital budget development and monitoring, it seems that we could make do again with not increasing those so substantially. Same thing with business services. That was going from, I think, I want to say $900 to $100,000. It was a very large increase. Custodial services for city facilities, again, that was increasing significantly. Debt management, I think we can make do with a little less money to oversee debt management. Pavement markings, community preventive health services, fire prevention education inspection, and signal optimization, computerization of signals, intelligent transportation systems. Are these things that we could spend additional funds on? Yes. Are they the most basic needs? I don't think so. Let me turn now to just where we can spend that money, because that gives us a total of $4.4 million in savings. And I think I'm like everyone else. I heard from folks across the community who were talking about arts and senior services and our libraries. But I can also say this. Every year, colleagues, I've heard the same thing, a mantra about code. Code, code. We need more code enforcement officers. And I did a pie chart this year just to look at where we're spending our money. We're spending like 1% on code. I have a $2.7 billion budget. If that's one of our priorities, we're certainly not making it a priority based on spending 1% of it, of our overall funds from the city of Dallas. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me since it's such an important quality of life issue. So I suggest we add not just the 30 code officers that Ms. Soon suggested, and I appreciate that, Ms. Soon, but I think we should add 50 more. And we can do that for about $1.1 million based on last year's recommendation. I also suggest that we invest in this neighborhood matching fund. This has proven so successful in other cities, and I suggest we put $250,000 towards that. Again, that's matched by neighborhoods, so the neighborhoods themselves would have to have both the funds and the actual work on whatever project they choose. Project Reconnect, the offender reentry program, I understand that the proposal is to cut city funding but maintain the grant funding that we receive, which is, I think, in the range of $900,000. But, colleagues, this is not something we should cut. This is not something that we should reduce. This provides dividends to our city. Right now we get 600 parolees every month coming to the city of Dallas. We can either help transition them into a normalized lifestyle, a productive lifestyle, or they can go back to doing what they've been doing. So that's about $250,000 there. I'm told by our city attorney that the special projects assistant city attorney, that is indeed included. That's a very important program that we have, where the city attorney focusing on best practices used by other cities. But that is included. So cross it out. On the next page, colleagues, cross out the special project assistant city attorney. It's the last thing. On the next page, city fleet maintenance and repair. In riding on the garbage truck in June, I discovered that about 38% of the garbage trucks on our streets every day are without air conditioning, and that's simply unacceptable. And so I asked staff to let me know what it would cost to make a difference, and Mr. Miguez was kind enough to track that down. Mr. Miguez, thank you. If we were to adequately repair all of these vehicles, we would need to have one mechanic at all four of the service areas, and so it would be about $800,000. So I propose this year that we start with one mechanic, and then we can work our way up in subsequent years. But let's just start with one and get as many of these repaired as possible, and then in future years we can add mechanics. But we can't just ignore this problem. Next issue, earlier this year we discussed the problems with right-of-way and TxDOT's lack of maintenance. We discussed how much it would cost. It's a significant cost for the city to step in and do TxDOT's job. And so I propose that we add two cycles to TxDOT's mowing and litter removal on TxDOT thoroughfares, and that would be $700,000. It would be nice if we could add four, but I don't think we have the funds this year, but we can get part of the way. Street cut permit and right-of-way construction. We were all bemoaning the fact that across our city we have street cuts from utility companies that don't appear to be repaired properly. Well, part of that is we don't really have the staff right now to look at the many, many street cuts across our city. Well, let's add the staff, and let's give better oversight for our street cut permitting and right-of-way. And lastly, on streets, again, one of the things I hear again and again from my residents in the central part of the city is that our streets are in bad condition. They need repairing. And I appreciate that we have bond funds to do that. I think we need to continue to supplement and try to get our streets from 85% to 87%. This is part of the way there. It's not all the way there. But I think it's an important step in the right direction. Overall, what I've tried to do here is reduce where I saw that we could reduce. I'm not taking into account hopeful projections. I, too, hope that we have improved sales taxes. I hope we do. But I think we're hearing some very negative things from our markets right now. I don't want to count on that. That's why none of that is included here. As far as the proposed increases, I've tried to go very basic. Street improvements, code improvements, neighborhood matching fund, offender reentry, right-of-way improvements. So all of these are very, very, very basic. And those are the things that I think we need to focus on in tight budget years. So that will be my proposal. Now, to Mr. Natinsky's proposal, I'll just go through and I can tell you my opinions on some of these, and I assume we'll vote on these individually. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this.
I've got five different amendments to Mr. Natinsky, so yours is the fifth one in total from your memo.
Okay.
So we'll go through each of those, and then we'll come back once we've done those and incorporated, and then vote on Mr. Natinsky's proposal.
With regards to the iMedia contract, I appreciate the fact that we want to respond to iMedia. They've been very vocal. They've come to the budget meetings. But, colleagues, I remember very clearly 3 years ago when we had this discussion about iMedia, and our goal was to wean iMedia off public funding as best as possible. And every year we kind of discuss, yes, we want to wean them off, and then we give them more funding. Now, if they go through the same process, which I recommended last year, if they go through the same process that all our cultural organizations do, and they are recommended to get a specific amount, I will be very supportive of that, because I've been through that process as a cultural affairs commissioner. It's a very fair process. It's a good process. But they don't. And I heard the argument that there's a franchise fee that, you know, we get from Time Warner Cable, and that's specifically provided to go to iMedia, and that's not the case. The fact is that's for infrastructure for our television usage and our cable usage, and so I just think that this we should be fair, and we should go about giving out funds for these cultural organizations in a very fair and the same way every year. So I will not be supporting that, although it's an incredibly good program. Don't get me wrong. It's an excellent program. They're doing a great job. But I just think we have to be fair. Most of the other things I can generally support if the sources of funding are the sources listed here on Mr. Natinsky's page. With regards to two things. One, Ms. Sim, I think we do a calendar every year, and I mentioned this to you privately, but, you know, we have a photographer come out and take pictures of us, and we send out this very glossy, nice calendar. And my personal opinion is I think that's a waste of money. I understand that we have to get certain information printed for residents. I think we could do that in a more economical way. I just don't think that's a good use of our funds to do that. So I'd like to see that reduction in our budget as well. And lastly, to Mr. Newman's point about $100,000 to promote the Trinity River Corridor project. Mr. Newman, as you know, I'm a huge fan of the park, the Trinity River Corridor park, and other wonderful aspects of this project, but it doesn't make sense to me that we would spend $100,000 to engage residents on this issue, regardless of how significant this project, particularly when we have private organizations that can do that job. The Trinity Trust, Trinity Foundation, these organizations can step up. I mean, if these organizations can find $500,000 to make a model, I'm hearing $500,000 to make a model, then I think they can find $100,000 to help provide funds to inform residents about this issue. So it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, there are a ton of issues I think residents would like to know about, and I think the Trinity may just be one of them. So that it doesn't make sense to me in lean budget times that we spend it on public information or glossy calendars. So I will not be supporting that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, please.
Yeah, just let me start off. My comments will be very brief. Just to Mary and staff, thank you for the long process that you've gone through. This just didn't happen overnight. You started working on it many, many, many months ago, probably 10 months ago when it was all said and done, as it is a never-ending process that you go through with your staff. And what I see here, it's basically a balance that we've got. The nuts and bolts of running the city along with the quality of life issues. And are there things out there that I'd like to see different? Absolutely. I'm a human being. I could go out there and put another $10,000 here, another $20,000, another $50,000, and come up with all the different deals. But at the end of the day, I feel like you've balanced it out very well. In regards to Councilman Natinsky, his door has always been open. He's listened to me, all the issues that I've had, along with your staff, Mary, all the issues that I've had and talked about, I've been able to open the door and they'd come in and visit with me. So I've been able to work through things that, that in my mind were important. So hats off to you for that. I'm going to support Councilman Tivsky's proposal that he's got on the table. I am also along that same lines with Councilman Newman. I do believe the Trinity River project is a huge project. The economic development that's going to go hand in hand with that is what keeps the city of Dallas moving forward and keeps us vibrant. One of the things that that I've been very pleased about, and I think with Mary and the staff, it's really back to the fact that as we look at a lot of this, we're looking at expenses and how we do the expense side. But the revenue side is where as councilman it comes into play. And with y'all's help last year in District 10, we were able to, with your help, generate $175 million in new construction. That equates to a little over $1.3 million just in city taxes, not school taxes, anything else, but just in cities. And that was the council help with doing that. And to me, that's where we can move this ball forward, and we can find this coming year, again, with economic development, we will find, continue to build our base. And that's something to be proud of, something to be proud of when we can tell our citizens that your tax appraised value, your property is up. I say that's something to be proud to tell them. Some people might say that's a way to raise taxes. Same way, I'll say again, if it goes down next year, then we can tell the citizens if tax appraised value goes down, we can turn around and tell them we just lowered your taxes. So, anyway, to sum it up, I will support Councilman Natinsky and his hard work. Thank you very much for the time, energy, and effort that you put into this. And I'll also go along with Councilmember Newman's amendment. Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Ms. Cook, please.
Thank
you. I assume that you were just supporting Mr. Newman's proposal, the 100 and then the 50-50.
Thank you, okay. Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Cook.
And I appreciate Ron's efforts on behalf of the council to try to come up with this omnibus. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say I appreciate Mr. Natinsky's efforts to come up with this omnibus bill, I guess, a resolution. And I just wanted to make sure that I got in my two cents about this since I was not here last week. My most important issues for me have been seniors, and I've been that way the last 3 years. And I just wanted to point out that we're increasing the, I guess, the amount that seniors get to as kind of a homestead exemption on their tax rolls for seniors, and we're indexing that, and that's a great thing for seniors. And also we're restoring the Senior Employment Initiative, the immunization outreach contract, and I think there was one more in here. Oh, and the HIV testing, which also would impact seniors as well. So I'm very supportive of these programs for seniors. Before we did this, we had also restored the seniors' transportation program that we had, so that was a good thing. We don't want to isolate our seniors. I continue to urge you to be cognizant that seniors need to be able to get places, to get their medication and so on and so forth. We're also working with that through the COG to make sure that those kinds of transportation options are open for seniors. I appreciate Ms. Hunt's work on the budget as well. There's some things in here I would like, but I think I will, on the code enforcement, I would have liked more code enforcement. I'm not so sure in my studies that the officers, more officers is what we need, because I think we need more attorneys to carry out the official actions against those folks that are in violation. So if we do have any money left over after this, I would be supportive of that if any of the options that you put on the table as far as cutting some of the areas, I would be in favor of adding more money to code enforcement, but kind of in that realm. That's just been my experience with working through code and working through the city attorney's office. And I'm sorry, that's all I have to say. I don't have a specific amendment for you, Mayor, just some comments.
No, thank those you. Are comments are appreciated, that, and that's what most people have done. I think that brings us to the close. If anybody wants to make a quick comment, I know Mr. Atkins, you want to make a quick quick comment. Let's leave them just as a couple of seconds, and let's bring this to closure, and then we'll go through the amendment. You're up.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, colleagues. I think all these amendments are really good. Overall, I think we're addressing the comments in our town hall meetings from our citizens. I do have to say, Ms. Hunt, about the amendment, I agree with Ms. Cook. We have never had in code enforcement a full staff. So adding at this point, I don't think will be the best solution. We need to first hire the ones that we have, the 30 that we have in the budget. And Ms. Hunt, by the way, just a quick question for you. I understand that you're moving some of the code enforcement officers from the prosecutor program to the nuisance abatement team. And as you all know, colleagues, I did send a memo to all of you saying I'm totally opposing that move.
Yes, and I'll be glad to brief any committee we'd like to brief, but Tom and I have worked for weeks and the new judge, on ways that we can link code efforts that are going on in SAFE and code in the prosecutor's office and have bring more resources to bear and keep a continuum going. Actually, this will bring more code resources to support the community prosecutors. There will not be one-on-one with them, but we think this will provide for better supervision and better provision. And if you'd like for us to bring that briefing, I think we're scheduled to brief, when, tomorrow?
22nd.
Okay, on the 22nd on that.
I might suggest both public safety and quality of life be involved in that.
I totally agree, Mayor, and I'm willing to wait, Mary, but I hope that these changes will not happen before the briefing.
They will, they're in as a part of the budget on the 24th, is where, because the payroll changes and involved in the budget. We'll delay them if you want. I will tell you, Tom and I both feel very strongly that this is a significant improvement in the way we provide that service.
Without the council being brief, I'm sorry that I cannot agree with you, Madam Manager.
Okay.
I mean, the council needs to know what are the changes before they're implemented.
Okay.
I have to say the prosecutor program is a program that I have fought to have two in this to one because it works. Because it actually makes a difference. I don't have to be going from burn house to dilapidated house to drill house. My prosecutor programs do that. And we have a good program, and I don't want to hurt her or jeopardize it in any way, shape, or form.
And
so I will hope, Madam Manager, that you delay any changes until the council is briefed, and then we can take a decision as a group.
Until
we're briefed.
We will do that. I will tell you, I have personally found all the money for this program. I support it. I believe in it. I have fought for it. Anytime the attorney said he needed something, I have provided that money and rounded it up. I just do not want anybody to think I am not supportive of this program. I am, and I'll be glad to brief all of you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I appreciate it, but until we are briefed, again, I do not support it. And as far as Ms. Hunt's amendments, Ms. Hunt, there are some very good points here. However, I will never support the cost in the City Secretary's office. As a matter of fact, we did not address all her needs in this year's budget, and I am sorry, Madam Secretary, we weren't able to do that. I will not cut the auditor's office. We're finally on track of knowing where our deficiencies are when it comes to income. I will not cut in any way, shape, or form Dallas Fire Rescue, Prevention, Education, and Inspection, and Public Works and Transportation, not to mention Parks and Recreation. I think equipment and building services, maintenance and repair is a big part of what the city has to do. So I am sorry I cannot support your amendments. Like I said, Mayor, I will be supporting
Mr. Atkins. Let's just try to keep the second round in just a minute. Mr. Atkins, you have to be next.
Mayor, I'll just hold my thoughts until I'm just going to hold my thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me go to Mr. Salazar, who didn't speak the first time. Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mayor. And
Ms. Hunt.
No, first off, I think if you look at Angela, she actually went into and looked at actually doing cuts as opposed to just looking at the additional income side of it. So actually, you can move her recommendations on an even par with Ron's and Dave's, and say you've got $2.7 million from the same sources. Now, the issue for me is that you have some duplication on these, and I think when we make our decisions, we have to make them on a line item. And certainly, I think both Dave and Ron did a good job of putting key interests of our communities in there, and I think that's very important, and I will be supportive of many of the things that are in both of them and also some in Angela's. I'm just going to mention one thing. I only submitted three considerations, and you know, one of them is obviously the U.S.-Mexico Chamber, just for $25,000. And I think that it's a small amount of money, but I think it takes us a long way. We had a nation come up that was a big PR situation for us, and they were very instrumental in handling it for us, and I think they did a really good job. They're pretty self-sufficient. You know, that's all they get from us, really. For a self-sufficient institution representing not only Dallas but also the region, I think we get a lot of bang for our buck on that.
And that was
U.S.-Mexico Chamber for $25,000.
And where would you get the $25 from? I'll, same thing I did to Mr. Newman.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, you know, you have revised sales tax estimates. Fee changes recommended by the manager.
No. Take it off. Let's regard it as they had a $25. Where would you get the $25 if you use Mr. Nikinsky's as the base? If you, either within the context of some of the programs that are on Nikinsky's.
Well, I take it from economic development.
But where with economic
development? Period. The department.
But there'll be a program there that will come.
What's that?
There'll be a program there that will come.
Well, well, Mary, what's the economic development budget?
I'm sorry, Rick. Give me a minute.
Okay, this is the question. If I were to take $25,000 from the budget, where would you take it from?
It would depend on what you were what you were taking and what you needed.
$25,000 in the U.S. Mexican Chamber of Commerce.
They got a trim real
quick. Right. Right. Exactly.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you have two counterbalancing amendments that are proposed by Dave and Ron, and if you just limit it within there, then certainly you're going to say, you know, what do you want? I mean, you can't just limit it from within there.
Let me ask you. Well, it could come from something else that's already in the budget, and that would be fine.
Sure. I mean, I'd be happy to sit down with the manager and go down the economic development budget.
And all I say is for the advantage of the colleagues, it's important for them to know. In other words, if it was 25 and it was coming from A, people might support it, but coming from B, they may not support it.
Right.
And that's why
we were trying not to.
So Mary, if...
I can't tell you without looking at it. I can go look for 10 or 15 minutes. We just cut the budget by $25,000. And something would be without.
Would it be reasonable then to have your amendment say we'll add $25,000 to the U.S.-Mexican Chamber of Commerce and the street maintenance would go from $500 to $475?
Right.
That's better.
That's right. Okay. That it? Thank you very much, Ms. Belzer. I know very quickly, trying to leave it to a minute, Ms. Davis, Ms. Hunt, and Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mayor. Two things, Mayor, and I'll be finished. Mary, on the how many more clean crew do we have now?
We've added staff and equipment, and there it depends on the job what a crew is.
Okay.
If you've got big jobs, it's big crews. We don't say there's this many crews. It's people and equipment. And if it's a big job, we sign more people and more equipment.
I'm talking about numbers.
We're adding people and equipment to that area, mostly.
Okay. So if we have 5,000 vacant lots, I'm just throwing out a number. If we have 5,000 vacant lots in the city now, how many crew members are we using for small crew? I'm just trying to get to a point. Do we need to hire additional mold clean crew members? That's the bottom line.
We can always use more additional mow clean. I've given you the number I recommend. You know, we're mowing lots and lots of lots, and we're putting liens on those lots. We've given you the amount we recommend. Can I always use more? Sure.
Okay. Now, then I'll be finished. Mr. Mayor, on the liens that we're putting on the property, how much of that money are we recouping back?
Not very many. Not very much, because the title on these lots is in question. Sometimes we get the lots and put them in the land bank. We do not get the money back.
So
we might get the lot eventually.
Okay, is that an area do you think we're losing money at? If we were to get all our money back, do you think that's the area that we could kind of work on to make sure that we can get our money back on those liens?
We will probably not get the money back on the liens. We probably would be more likely to be able to seize more lots.
Yeah. And to seize more lots, then that'll go what, back to the nonprofit or whoever.
Land bank.
However it gets disposed of.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I just think that's a whole lot of money. We're placing liens on the property. Money is being added on the property, and then we're not recouping any of that money back.
Let me give a perspective, too, on that, Ms. Davis, because I think you raised an important point. While the collection is limited, the value of it gives us more leverage. It gives us more leverage to go after those lots and either take them, acquire them, as Ms. Soon said, or in a limited number of cases to try to get the improvement. So I would think of it more as almost giving us leverage than its collection, as if we had given traffic tickets or things like that.
Additionally,
we'd love to collect every dollar we can. It's just, as Ms. Sims said, given the lien situation and people walking on the lots where the liens become more. Now, again, it helps us get the lot so we can do something. We can do something in that neighborhood so it's a value to us.
Okay.
We just don't see it in the collection yet.
And then Chapter 27, would Tom be briefing us on Chapter 27? When would he be doing that?
I think part of that's on the 22nd, too.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dr. Garcia? Since you addressed some concerns, I just wanted to make sure that I fully explain myself. On the items that you mentioned, I just want to be clear. I'm not proposing that we cut any of those from last year. What the city manager has recommended is a 12% increase in those items.
October 2nd.
Mr. Mayor.
Please, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The city manager has recommended on many of these items that I've listed here around a 12% increase over the actual amount spent last year. That doesn't make sense to me in a lean budget year, but I do want to make that very clear. I'm not proposing that we make cuts. I'm proposing that we make a smaller increase of 3% rather than 12% in these items. So I just want to be very clear. Not cutting them. It's just a smaller increase than what's proposed. And I also want to say one last thing about Ms. Sim. Ms. Sim, I want to thank you for this budget. I think you've done a very good job in developing a lean budget and finding places to cut, and having looked at so many of these line by line, I'm very impressed. I think your staff has done an excellent job on this. And my proposal is humbly presented as some additions that I think we might find for cuts. So I want to commend you and your staff for this. Well done.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Allen, please.
Very quickly, Mary, as you look, and I know you do, you're 2 years out, 3 years out, 5 years out, and I know you look that far out, probably even 10 years out, as you're mapping us and guiding the city down the road. Does Councilman Natinsky's proposal fit in your roadmap?
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. And then finally, Mr. Sansky, please.
Thank you. You know, Mayor, what I'm hearing today is, colleagues, I'm just not looking to try and find $25,000 or $50,000 here. What I'm hearing here is disturbing. Our mayor said we'll go a second round, try to keep it to 1 minute. We have a budget approaching $3 billion. I find it alarming that we're only going to spend another minute on a second round. I've asked Ms. Soom, Mary, with everyone speaking here about amendments in this, so I've asked you, are we going to have one more meeting before the final adoption? And you've mentioned to me, quote, we're going to try not to have another meeting. So how are we putting all this together when we're talking about a $2.75 billion budget?
Your schedule is laid out such that if you had to have another meeting, you could. But my understanding was that you were going to work to complete your amendments in rough outline today.
Well, I think we
but
need to
could I finish,
I
Mr.
We need to discuss it between all of us.
Well, could I finish?
But under the carpet.
Could I finish?
I think we need to have another special meeting on these amendments. Everybody discuss.
And Mr. Zansky, we will determine that. That's going to be.
You will determine that.
No, I said we will determine it. It will be the collective view of the 15 of us, and we'll see what we need
to discuss that out in the open. All of our budgets and amendments that we're looking at.
Mr. Zansky, we will. We've got to find out where we are.
Well, we know where we are. We have a budget that we're really not trying to work down. So I am very disappointed. I'm very disappointed. We'll give you another minute to talk about a $3 billion budget. I think that's obscene, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Newman?
Very quickly, just to make sure there's balance. I very much, as a councilman, Mr. Zansky, appreciate your passion for the taxpayers' funds, as I share that passion as well. but we as a council collectively will decide and give direction to our managers about whether we have one, two, five more meetings or not. It's democracy. When we go through these budget amendments, we'll decide as a group what passes or fails. Yes, I espoused the $100,000 allocation of the Trinity project, but if the consensus of the council is not that way, we won't do that. We'll move forward. Ms. Hunt made her proposals. Each one of us did. So there is no ulterior motive here. This is very public. This is a collective process. I want to make sure the record's very clear. The mayor's just trying to bring us to a point where we have everything on the table, and then we decide as a group. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Let me go, Ms. Petrone.
I'd like to hear what Mary had to say. She didn't finish.
The budget schedule has always been set up such that a week before the budget has to come to you as a final, we would have time to put your amendments in and change all those budgets. But recognizing that you might need an extra day, the calendar has had one extra day, and that was the day we're referring to. But historically, and over the many years, you've been able to work it out this Monday. And then we have to send more materials to you about the budget based on your changes, so we want to be sure you have time to look at that. You have to vote a week from this Wednesday.
Appreciate that. Let me do this then, if we're done with the conversation. I've got seven amendments. I'm going to read those seven amendments to you again using Mr. Nacinski's work as a base. I'll give those to you, and then I'm going to make a couple of comments, general comments and overview, and then some comments on specific proposals. And then this will give you a chance to think about those seven each. Then what I'm going to do, I think I can go through them, but it would help Mr. Cook if you would. And then I'll go ahead and take a show of hands on each of the seven of them. And then we'll go through and make a formal vote on Mr. Kinski's proposal, incorporating any of the additional amendments that are approved by us collectively.
Just so I understand, will you be going through item by item on each of our amendments?
I think if I can leave it as total in amendments, that will be the most expeditious way to do it.
I agree it might be the most expeditious way. I don't think it would most accurately reflect what each of us thinks we should add or detract from
this. That's fine. Let me do these seven. When I get to the two that are big, there's five that are real specific.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, when you say these seven, just what are you referring to?
Let me walk down through those. Let me just show you what the seven are.
Okay, give me one example because I'm not understanding.
Amendment number one, Mr. Rozanski proposed that we eliminate the additions to the cultural affairs of $539,000, eliminate the iMedia of $50,000, that's a total of $589,000, and that would be added to streets. So the streets would then go to $1,089,000 from Mr. Nacinski's proposal. That's number one. So if you refer then to page two, item number two would be restated to $1,089,000. Item number three would be restated to zero. And item number six would be restated to zero. And that was one of Mr. Rozanski's proposals. Now, number two would be Mr. Rozanski's broad proposal on pages 12 through 15 of the packet that was distributed to you, pages 12 through 15. Okay. Proposal number three would be Mr. Newman's of adding $100,000 information dissemination TRCP, and that would be a new addition to Mr. Nacinski's proposal. And then there would be a $50,000 reduction in the signage, which is number seven. So number seven would go to zero. And then a $50,000 reduction in street maintenance,
which is item number two, that would go to $450,000. Item number four, amendment to amendment number four, would be for Mr. Newman, and that would be the additional recycling pickup, I guess is the best way to say it, and that would be funded by a 1 cent increase in the sanitation fee. That's item number four. Please.
You might want to. I'm sure everybody understands, but that has nothing to do with the budget.
It doesn't touch the budget.
Right, because that's a fee recapture. Mm-hmm.
That was number four. Number five is Ms. Hunt's proposal, which she distributed this morning. Number six is Ms. Hunt's proposal to referring back to Mr. Natinsky's benchmark, eliminating iMedia and eliminating council publications. Did I get that right, Ms. Hunt? You referred to some of the council publications. I just want to make sure I capture that. The calendar. Oh, just that? Okay. So just eliminate iMedia then. I'm sorry, David. Just eliminate iMedia then. And then proposal number seven would be Mr. Salazar's. And that would be an increase for the U.S.-Mexican Chamber of Commerce of $25,000. And then a decrease in street maintenance, which is item number two, from $500,000 to $475,000. Now let me make some comments, and then we'll come back to each one of these. And what I'll do relative to number two and number five is I'll pull that in total and see if people would like to go item by item or if they'd like to deal with it in total. And then we'll go through each one of those. Let me make a couple of general comments on three things. I think we talked about the street so that everybody understands the street maintenance piece. Where we are today, before the additional $500,000 that's included, is this maintains the street maintenance at the previous determined, and previous being several years ago, identified levels that we wanted to be at. So we've met that. The money's here becomes an addition to that. As was mentioned by Ms. Davis, the housing, one of the challenges we have, I would tell you that I don't think we adequately address housing, but we're not going to adequately address it within the operating budget. It truly is going to have to be dealt with in the context of creating a capital pool. And again, these are operating funds. The capital pool is really bond funds. That's where we need to deal with it. And I think a number of us would be supportive of that. On the pay stations, let me make a specific comment on that. The challenge that we have, and I understand it meets a real need in the community, at the same time, it is extremely expensive. It in effect becomes a subsidy. Two-thirds of the payments that we collect are not for the city of Dallas. We collect them for TXU, other utilities. That works out to be about $3.42 per payment received. Put that in context, that in and of itself is about 6 or 7% of the payment. Most collection departments would love to be below 1%, and in fact to be a fraction. So we have inflated this substantially. It is a very, very expensive way to collect payments like this.
we actually have done a little bit of homework to see if we started charging TXU for it so that they cover some of the costs, because two-thirds of the cases we're providing services to other people, and clearly TXU and other folks, properly so, are not giving us discounts on electric rates or anything else. If we were to charge them, they would simply pull back and not do it, as an indication of how expensive it is. If you look at it just in terms of the payments that we're collecting, then it's over $10. Over $10 per payment is what we're receiving. These are $40 and $50 payments. That means that we're paying about 20% on average. 20%. It's a big number. I'm supportive of what Mr. Natinsky has done, but I think over time we've got to be conscious that it is just a very, very expensive way of collecting these. Let me make a couple of general comments, but I'll make comments on specific proposals. A number of folks have said, well, one of the ways that we can do is just cut departments 2 or 3%. Keep in mind, that's something we can do. But what that will mean is the department will come back and make a cut. And they will cut a program which we have just added back. So it's not some magical cut. They're going to have to go in and actually find a program to cut. And when they do that, it is going to affect the program. So it's going to be one of the things in culture, it's going to be one of the other things here, that all of a sudden people are going to come back to. So understand, that's why there's a level of specificity that's necessary in trying to deal with some of these pieces. As I mentioned, we'll go down through the individual proposals. And again, I think a number of them are trying to address important issues. I think one of the things that I'm concerned with on Mr. Rozanski's proposal is exactly what I said. When we say cut these programs or cut some percentage of it, we certainly can, but in the end there's going to be a program cut and people are going to work. You said cut 2 to 3% or some percentage. In the end, that's going to be the implication, is my point. In terms of the other piece of it, Ms. Hunt, I appreciate the work that you did on this. There's clearly a lot of thought that went into this, and we appreciate it. One of the challenges is, though, we had laid a deadline of last Thursday, so it becomes difficult to analyze these when we receive them today. I know in terms of the additional revenue sources or the decreases that you're showing, one of the concerns that I have on that, when we say actual cost plus 3% for inflation is a rough measure. I'm noting that of the 15 that are identified, 7 of these departments, a large percentage of their budget comes from fuel. Fuel is up significantly more than 3%. And then I'm also noticing that there's at least several departments that have new facilities. And so those new facilities, there's budget elements that come into that. I'm also concerned that when we simply say 3%, we're really going beyond that, because I know workers' compensation, health benefits, is up significantly more than 3%, and that concerns me. I'd also be concerned on the fire prevention, education, and inspection. That's one where I would communicate that we are clearly trying to be very aggressive using that, not only in a pure fire sense, but to be able to use inspections to go after vacant buildings, especially in the downtown area in the southern part of our city, so that we can use that to have those landowners come to bat, either take those buildings down so it'll allow for development, or to simply bring them up to code and be able to use them in the appropriate ways. A couple of comments on the Reconnect program. Although we are reducing the amounts of money that are going in purely out of the operating budget for the Reconnect, the reentry, I think, is a very, very important program. But because of grant monies, we will significantly increase that. We will be between $800,000 and $1 million. We have actually given the go-ahead for organizations to do some of the business planning for it, and we're hoping that in the October 15th standpoint, that work will be completed, and by November 1st, we'll be able to announce a city leader who I think will be recognized by everybody for their work
on the crime and the public safety side, and they'll take over and lead an effort on the reentry program to do some very special things. We've had conversations with our police department as well as Craig Watkins, our district attorney, and a number of others to build those in. I would point out that the neighborhood matching fund is reflected in Mr. Intinsky's. The other piece, that so that everybody understands that, is we do have a commitment from one of the community's foundations that they will fund $100,000 of that, so that we're going outside, so it's not just a city program, and we're being able to go forward on that. With that, let's go ahead and try to go through these individual proposals. I'll just take a show of hands for those. So, and if any of them pass for it, then we'll go ahead and incorporate those and then come back and do a vote then that reflects that together with what Mr. Natinsky put forward. I would, as we do this, like to thank Mr. Natinsky. I appreciate him taking the lead, pulling a lot of information together, and finding, in a lot of cases, some good compromise and balances. As I said, my vote would be to take pay stations out, but the reality of it is collectively we're all working together, and there are balances that are being made. I think Mr. Tinsky did a very good job in weighing those balances. I appreciate it. And then, as was said by a number of my colleagues, again, to Ms. Soom, to Mr. Cook, and to all of your people, thanks. We've been at this a long period of time. It is very clear, if you look at not this year but next year, we're going to have to start this process literally on October 1st, because we're going to have the same sort of challenges that we dealt with this year. The gap will be large, and we're going to have to work through it. And it's not something that can be worked through in a couple of weeks of a budget time frame. It's going to have to be all of us coming up with collective ideas, some ideas that perhaps are on some of the things that were distributed today, some of those things that were in the ideas that we could not work through on this budget cycle, but maybe ideas for revenue and enhancement in the future. But it's going to be incumbent upon each of the committees and every single one of us to come up with ideas to do that. We did it this year. That's because we spent an awful lot of time on it. We started early. But if anything, we're going to have to do the same thing next year, because the challenge is going to be equal to it, if not great. The first proposal with Mr. Rozanski's, that is, again, to eliminate the cultural affairs additions of $539,000 and the iMedia $50,000, that's $589,000, and then put that to the streets. So that would then take the streets additions above the baseline, so kind of what I call the premium money, to $1,089,000. Can I have a show of hands in support of that? Okay, we've got one. One, okay. So that will fail. The second one, then, is Mr. Rozanski's proposal on pages 12 to 15. My first question I'll ask about, do you want to if you'll let me finish, Mr. Rozanski, the first show of hands I'm going to ask for is, would you like to deal with it individual items, or would you like to deal with it collectively? So those of you that would like to deal with it collectively, please let me know.
You don't even want to hear individual items.
Mr. Rozanski, Mr. Rozanski, we have been at this months and months. You were good enough to have this distributed, and we all appreciate that. I think everybody spent a lot of time on that. And if people would like to go through it individually, we're willing to. Mr. Rozanski, I'm asking what people would like to do. Now, if people would like to go through them individually, then we will do it. We are going to... By a show of hands, how many people would like to go through these individually? Two. How many would like to deal with it collectively? I think it's clear we'll do it collectively.
And I will ask that we go to Mr. Natinsky's.
Okay. First. Then the second one, then, is how many people would like to see Mr. Rozanski's proposal, pages 12, 15, incorporated into the budget? Showing of hands, please... Please identify by raising your hand. Okay. Our third one, then, is Mr. Newman's proposal for the Trinity River Community Trinity River Corridor Project of $100,000. That would be funded $50,000 through the signs and $50,000 through the street maintenance. So signs go to zero. Street maintenance would go then from $500 to $450. People in favor of that, could they raise their hand, please? One, two.
that would also fail. The fourth item then, off the operating budget, but nevertheless proposed, I think we need to deal with it so that we can build it into the planning efforts. And that was the sanitation recycling collection that would be funded by a 1 cent increase in the sanitation fee. Would all those in favor of that raise your hand? Three. Okay, that will fail too. Now, again, Ms. Hunt's proposal, a number of different items on that. I'll ask if you would like to do that individual items or collectively. Same situation. Those that would like to do it and go through the items individually, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Okay, that will fail. Now, collectively then, if show of hands to incorporate these, the $4.3 million of savings and then the $4.3 million of reallocation of expenses, to incorporate those into the budget. Those that are in favor, one of those. Okay, that will also fail. Next proposal, the sixth one from Ms. Hunt, and that would be to, I think we're just down to iMedia, right, Ms. Hunt? Okay, to take the iMedia from 50 to zero. So that would be item number three, go from 50 to zero. Okay, all those in favor of that, please raise your hand. That would fail. Then the seventh proposal is from Mr. Salazar. That would be to allocate $25,000 to the U.S.-Mexican Chamber of Commerce for $25,000, and then change item number two, which is the street maintenance, from $500,000 to $475,000. All those in favor of that, raise your hand. One, two. Okay. With that, then, we come back to the proposal that would be the amendment, and it'd be the collective amendment of a number of different individuals and their work that they've done, and they communicated, and Mr. Vitinsky pulled that together. So with this, I would ask for a motion to incorporate page 2 into the budget and ask and direct the city staff to complete that.
Second.
Mr. Caraway moved it. Dr. Garcia seconded. The top part of page 2. I'm sorry, the top part of page 2. Yeah. Incorporating that those pieces are available. Yeah. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Objection will show Mr. Newman, and it'll show Ms. Hunt. Did I miss anybody? All right. Oh, and then we have additional amendment. It's the city manager's on arbitrage.
Page 6 in the
page
package.
6. Is that it, page 6?
And Mary, would you just please, you know, give us a little bit of background, because I'm in support of it, but I would like to...
Okay, Dave, just review it quickly.
Since we've proposed the budget, we've had some calculations on our arbitrage, our interest earnings, I should say, and that simply means that there are some bond propositions we've issued where we're going to earn more interest than we're paying in interest, and because we're tax-exempt bonds, we're not allowed to do that. The differential, we estimate to be the $635, we have to pay to the federal government.
Thank you, Mr. Cook, and I will be supporting the mayor. Move approval.
Okay. Then we need to stop and ask the questions. Absolutely.
If we issue bonds, let's say at a 4.5% interest rate, and we may have done that 8 or 10 years ago, every 5 years on each issuance, the IRS requires us to calculate how much have we been earning. So if we're paying 4.5% on our bond issues, paying to the people that bought the bonds, we're paying 4.5% interest, but we may be earning 4.6% interest rate when we do our investments, as we take that money that's not spent yet and we invest it, safe, secure investments, but depending on cycles in the economy and interest rates, there are times when we may earn more than we're paying. And this is a case in some of our issuance where issued at a particular rate, that money is earning more than it's costing us. We're kind of creating wealth that way. And because we issue tax-exempt debt, meaning that when people buy our bonds, most of our bonds are tax exempt, the buyers of those bonds do not pay income tax on that interest earning. We're sending semi-annual interest checks to people that buy our bonds, and that is not reported as income to those individuals. The federal government waives that. It's not taxable income. Because the federal government gives us that freedom, that liberty to issue tax-exempt debt, it comes with that restriction. You can't earn more than you're paying. And if you do earn more, you have to give it. We have to give it to the feds.
Are you okay? Okay, any other questions? Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Objections? None noted, so ordered.
Now, what we will provide to you next by Friday or sooner is the changes that are in this budget and the PCA with the personnel classification actions so that you can consider it for a week from Wednesday.
Now, and again, as was discussed earlier in the meeting, we can meet again in a similar meeting today if people feel that that's necessary. So we're welcome to it. Ms. Hunt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have to agree with Mr. Rozanski on the idea that it is inappropriate for us to go so quickly through some of these complex amendment proposals. I understand that may be the will of the council, but I think that in a way disenfranchises some of our council districts that may have specific needs or may have made specific points to council members during their meetings. It makes more sense to me that we would spend additional time. I would like to hear from Mr. Rozanski. I would like to hear him explain each of his points and have Ms. Soom explain, and Ms. Soom may have very good reasons for not supporting some of these. I have grave concerns about some of them, but I also think some of them make sense. And so it makes more sense to me that on a $2.7 billion budget that we would not rush through amendments in one session when these amendments were, I think, produced to Ms. Soom by Thursday, and now it's Monday. I certainly haven't had an opportunity to talk with my residents about either Mr. Natinsky's proposal, Mr. Newman's proposal, some of the other suggestions made today, and it would make more sense to me that we come back and discuss these more fully.
And Ms. Hunt, we are free to do that, again, whatever the will is. I do want to put it in context, though. I think our first budget discussion was back in March. My guess is that we have had at least 20 briefings on the budget during that period of time, not mentioning conversations as individual points come up during appropriate council sessions and that. We had asked for amendments. I know I asked for them as far back as 2 months ago to consider to start putting those together on an individual basis. We put a deadline of last Thursday on those for any of those to be disseminated so they could be seen. In regard specifically to Mr. Rozanski's, that was well over a month ago, and there was actually a written response that was incorporated from the city manager and distributed to all of us, and I'm guessing a month ago now.
He turned in his amendments before the budget was presented, and on the, I guess that was the 10th or 11th, when, that Friday, when we sent out the budget, we sent out a memo to
right.
you discussing his amendments.
Mr. Mayor, let me add something, though, and I appreciate your point. We have had a lot of discussion about this budget, a great deal of discussion, but this is the very first meeting where we have discussed amendments, where that has been on the agenda to go through our amendments point by point. And unless it's on the agenda, we can't discuss it as a body. And this was brought to everyone's attention a month ago to provide amendments, this is the first council meeting where it's been on the agenda to discuss them. And yet we're going forward immediately with these amendments. I just don't think we're taking enough care on a $2.7 billion budget. I think it's too important.
Again, we're free to do whatever we want, but I was also then going to go through and say there have been town hall meetings of 41 town hall meetings. I think 41 was the actual number on town hall meetings where people were able to convey it and have those reflected amendments, and those have been distributed. So again, it's really the will of the council. We can spend as much time, and if necessary, we can meet every single day if we want to. And so it's going to be the will. All I wanted to do is convey that there's been an enormous amount of time. I think, to be fair, Mary, this is probably the earliest
that we've ever engaged and got involved in the budget because of some issues that were raised last time we did that. And I'd also tend to say that most of the items that were incorporated in Mr. Natinsky's, what I'll call the framework on that, on page two, I know street maintenance came up a number of different times. It was included in the in at least two different briefings. The iMedia contract has been talked about several different times. The library materials have come up. I'm just going down through all of these and looking at the number of times they've come up. Any of the major items, I think, have come up a number of different times. But with that, again, is the will of the council. And we also shouldn't be limited to one time. If we want to meet more than that, we're more than free to. Let me go to Mr. Carraway and then Ms. Davis.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Let me say what I really think is unfair. And I think that it's unfair for us to project to the general public that we're rushing. That is what's unfair. I think that this council and this manager and through this budget process, since we've all been elected, we made a commitment to walk through this process, to start it early. We agreed with those things at the retreat, and we've walked through this process. I think we've given this budget cycle more attention than ever before. And I wasn't sitting on the council then, but it was always a crunch. But we've gone through this process. And when you don't have your way, don't get mad. And then don't try to force it down our throats. We've heard it, we've read it, we've participated with it. And when you don't have your way, you take your marbles and you just go home. That's not the projection that it should be. We've thoroughly gone through this. And as you said, man, it's unfair to you. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just one that will speak up. I think it's been a very fair process. And I don't think that we're rushing, and I do think that we've had ample time to make our points. And earlier, Mr. Vivansky made his points, and he had as much time, because normally when I'm talking, everybody won't be cutting me off. You'll say, I'm just talking, just be saying something. But here's the deal. Mr. Vivansky had enough time today to explain his points, and he went through them. And we did that at the beginning of the meeting. And I do not want the public to think that we've been unfair and are not hearing and adhering to his proposals and his presentations and his concerns, and that we're just derelicting our duty and responsibility to the taxpayers, not paying attention. This has been a good budget. And one thing that we could have been talking about that may one day have to, that none of us want to sit here and talk about, where we're talking about cuts and trying to find money. Well, now we raise the taxes. That's what we don't want to talk about. And I think our taxpayers ought to be very proud of this council because we've done it without doing that. But with all of the things that we'd like to see, all of the things that we'd like to have, this council has put something together. We've kept the taxes from being raised. We've collectively delivered a wonderful budget. It's been a beautiful process. But we're not going to get to the end of this process and then start throwing darts. Now, we're about to bring this thing to a close, and I think from the show of the majority of this council, we've shown the fact that we are unified with just a few differences. So we're not going to end it up with people under the false impression that we were unfair with this process. This was a fair process to the folks that I represent. This was a fair process. And then the next one is even going to be better. Thank you, ma'am.
And I think by having 15 people, I don't think anybody's 100% happy with it. I mean, I think individually everybody would do. I do think it's important to communicate that the amendments that we're talking about comprise 0.0013. So 0.13% of the total budget that we're talking about. Let me go to Ms. Davis, and then Ms. Hill, Mr. Natinsky, and then
thanks.
Dr. Garcia.
Thank you, Mayor. I think this was a fair process. I had, I think, three or four town hall meetings, and in each one of my meetings, I made it, and Jill was there, I made it very clear. If you want to see changes in this budget, let us know. I said it not only one time, but I said it four times at my town hall meetings.
My very first town hall meeting was at the Martin Luther King Center. I had one at J.C. Field, then I had one out in the Ferguson Road area. Then when we approve this budget, I'm going to go to Parkdale with the new amendments, but I made it very clear. The people in the Ferguson Road Initiative talked about the culture. They talked about the culture, making sure that, and they talked a little about code. But once again, I asked, and Jill wrote down everything that everybody said they would like to see in this budget. For the most part, people were satisfied with this budget. Now, the other concern at Martin Luther King was clearly the pay station. I'm hoping that as we go through this process, and I'll get with Jill much early this year, when Mr. Carraway and Mr. Atkins brought up, perhaps let's look at some other things that we can put a part of that pay station that other stores have, like, for example, selling stamps. They talk about a Ticketmaster or something. Let's look at some other things where we can offset that pay station. Clearly, I don't get everything I want, but I think that this was clearly a decent budget. One of the things I do wish that we didn't talk about, Mary, but you might find it somewhere else, is carpet on our floor. Nets or something is biting me. And I don't know where these nets are coming from. And I don't know, it's not to say, you know, but I just had to, you know, I guess, but it is, you know, there's some nets or something that's biting me. And I guess because the carpet is old, if we can just look at some ways of finding us some new carpet somewhere, somehow. It can be some new savage carpet or something. If we don't have the money, then we just don't have the money right now. And the other thing that I want us to start talking about, our council budget, when we do two town hall meetings, saying that we'll start our next town hall meetings in October, our budget is almost complete gone. Right now, I got about $2,000, and that's because this last town hall budget meeting, I was not able to mail mine out because I didn't have enough money. So what we had to do was take the information to the different rec centers. We did email blasts to neighborhood leaders, and I told them to forward them on to something. So in our next budget sometime, if we can just look at a small increase of adding a little more money to our council budget, because when you do two mailers, the money is gone. So that's it for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. I, too, think we have had ample opportunity to discuss, dissect, digest this budget. We actually started talking about this budget last year, the day after we finished the last budget. We made clear the things that we wanted to the city manager. I have had every opportunity I needed for input to the manager, to Mr. Cook, to the departments, and everybody else I wanted to speak to. I have read the memos from the manager. She does send a lot of them, and I read them. I read Mr. Rozanski's proposal when he sent it. I read the manager's response. I understood it. I had 5 town hall meetings. There was a very, very low level of dissatisfaction with this budget in my town hall meetings. People understood the budget. They were basically satisfied with it. They did have a couple of points, but for the most part, they were very satisfied, and Ms. Soom appreciated the hard work that you did. Mr. Cook did all 5 of my town hall meetings. He did an excellent job of explaining. People were happy with that. Not only have I read the materials and gone to 5 town hall meetings, I have sat here through every one of the briefings. I do not sidebar during the briefings. I hear what the staff is saying. I hear what my council colleagues are saying. I take notes. I have heard the discussion. I have lost votes around the horseshoe, as you know, and all of us will. But when we lose a vote, that does not mean we lose unity. It's a vote lost. And as far as I'm concerned, when you lose a vote, you sit there and you suck it up. That's the way I think it works. Each of us is independent. We are clearly very strong-minded and strong-willed people. Otherwise, we would not have beat the opposition to be sitting at the horseshoe. But as 15 of us come together, we work together as 15. And if you lose it, you lose it. Your marbles do not get to go home. You sit there and you keep working for your district. That's my opinion. That's going to be my opinion. I do not see why we need to have any other time on this, because we have done the work. Let's move on to something else. We're not going to get any more money. No more money is going to come in. Let's move on. I recognize, Mayor, that I've begun to preach. So let me give the benediction and move on. Thank you so much.
As usual, be it a sermon or a comment, it was very well said. Very well said. Mr. Nitiski.
How do I follow that, Judge Hill? I'll be brief, colleagues. You know, we started this process a lot earlier this year than we have in past years. We set our objectives out there. You know, there were those moments where you heard on TV and radio and you opened the paper and that we were facing a $50 million shortfall, and the consequences of that were either going to be tax increases or serious service cuts. This has been an almost continuous process since we started it in March. What we talked about today, we have tentatively approved a budget. It doesn't include everything that I'm sure that every one of us sitting around here has something that is either in the budget they would have liked to cut or something not in the budget that they would like to get in there. But I think we've got a good working relationship. We're going to leave this table, shake hands, and move forward. We not only covered this with no cuts in our services, we continued our increase in public safety, 200 new additional officers, equipment, and other things. We paid attention and put money in the budget for our curb appeal that came out of our council retreat last year. It's been a key objective of the city, of the council, is to make the city look good. We did all that. We did it with no tax increase, and we covered the 3-cent tax increase that we told the citizens would be required for the bond program that when they voted for it in 06. So I think we've done a really good job. Can we do better next year? We're sure going to try. We're going to start, I understand, October 1st, Mr. Mayor. So we'll have many more months to continue this dialogue. And I'm sure when we reach the same point next September, there will still be those who will be unhappy about what has happened. I think we've did a good job on behalf of the city and the citizens, and I think one key thing is this is not just about having town hall meetings about the budget in the fall. It's maintaining communications with your citizens on a year-round basis so that you don't get inundated with it all when we're dealing with it in budget season, and you can start working on some of these projects earlier. So I marked my calendar for October 1st, Mr. Mayor, and we'll get started again. Thank you.
Deal. Thanks. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I'm working my calendar last year, October 1st. As a matter of fact, I didn't take a vacation in July. I was here the whole month of July looking at the budget. In my town hall meeting, the mayor soon was there at a couple of my town hall meetings. They were very, very pleased by the budget. As a matter of fact, the majority of my constituents said, hey, you should have raised a little taxes, you know, and that showed good things to come. But also in the town hall meeting, when you have people who come to 5 different town hall meetings, and I kind of agreed with Carolyn Davis, you know, my district boundaries is from all the way from Grand Prairie to Cleveland Riley. It's very, very difficult for me to inform all of my constituents about town hall meetings, Mary. And I think that we do need additional money in our budget when you have a huge less density population to try to make sure that all your constituents do get the mail out and the right understanding about town hall meetings. That's something we need to look into, Mary, especially in District 8. You know, it's a huge, it's a city within a city. The other thing that, Mary, you know, I'm very, very pleased that in our town hall meeting that I shared with Bonfield Hill that we did talk about what the future might be. And I think sometimes when you talk about the budget in the present time, you should also talk about the budget in the future. and we kind of prepare our citizens that we are going to have a tax increase, and they do understand that in my district. We did take a homestead exemption act that we told the citizens, the seniors, that you need to apply for that, and we took a big old poster board around to make sure that the citizens do need that. But we are going to have hard times. I think that October 1st, as the mayor was speaking of, that we should start looking at the budget, but we also should prepare our citizens next year that we very put a rabbit out of a hat this time, as Ron always said, but next year, Mary and I are going to be able to put a rabbit out of a hat, you know, with the economics going up. But one thing I like to say, we need to look at the mayor. You know, when I finished from college, you know, the first thing you say, what job you want to go to, which city that you want to live in, and what company you want to work for. And my first company that I worked for was Ford Motor Company. And I think that we as a citizen of Dallas, we need to look at the city of Dallas. And I'm very, very passionate about our health, you know, our Medicare and medical service for the city and our citizens here. And if we don't do nothing about, if we just do one thing, I mean, if we just had to go to the voters and say, hey, do we got a good health care policy here in the city of Dallas? They probably said no, but I think we need to reach out to the citizens and say, hey, what can we do to make sure that if you do want to work for a top-tier city, we're trying to be global, that what can we do, Mary, to make sure that we have better health care and make sure that our citizens, our employees at the city of Dallas want to work for the city of Dallas. And that's going to be something that they're going to be looking at. You know, I think for jobs, they can look for the salary, but also what is my benefit? And I think the one benefit they're going to look at, hey, what type of benefit does the city of Dallas have? And they're going to look at health, and we got to look at that, even though we might have to go back to the voters and see what percentage that we need to raise the taxes to make sure we got a good health care. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I voted against the straw vote today because exactly what Councilman Davis and Councilman Hill said was to be representative of your district. We voted today, ladies and gentlemen, to not bring recycling to District 3. Four town hall meetings, they said, we want recycling. Unanimously, my 55 HOA presidents, we want recycling. So my role is to be an advocate for the very citizens that put me here. And I'm conveying again disappointment. I hate to pop the balloon of celebration, but the citizens in my respective district of 80 square miles, of 100,000 residents, clearly spoke to me and said, we want recycling in the southern sector. Clearly said that they wanted it in District 3 in Oak Cliff. And I'm very disappointed. The $100,000 that I asked the council to consider for the Trinity Project is because we do not have an effective communication method with our citizens in the Trinity. But that's okay. The council voted today. I respect that vote. But I cannot emphasize enough the disconnect that the message we just sent to District 3 and their commitment to recycling and to be green and all the talk we have as a council about being friendly to the environment, and we said no today. Thank you.
The only thing I'd say, Mr. Newman, I think your point's well taken. Let's not give up. Let's find some ways to get there.
The council voted today, Mayor. I respect the council's decision.
But mind, there's alternatives to get to the same point. That may be going up the side of the hill, not the front of the hill, but let's try to get there, because I was in some of those meetings too, and I'd also tell you recycling I think should be a high priority for everybody, given some of the challenges we've got environmentally, nationally and internationally.
Mayor, there are council districts that have said, no, we don't want recycling. There are council districts that the manager is going to put recycling in that they've said no. Mm-hmm. My respective district of 100,000 people, District 3, have said yes, and the manager said no. There is a disconnect. There is a disconnect between what the people want and what the government is or is not going to give them. That is a problem.
Well,
and I say that with all due respect, but again, we're all here to be advocates for our citizens. And I'm trying to be an advocate for our citizens that want to be friendly to the environment, that want to tie their neighborhoods together. And we did went the opposite today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But let's get there. One of the best salesmen I ever knew once said that if somebody says no to you, it only means at this point. It doesn't mean no forever. So let's see if we can find some creative things, because I think we're all committed to the environmental piece in general, as well as some of the desires of individual districts. Mr. Allison.
Just real quick, it's been a long budget process, as I mentioned earlier in my comments, but I just want to go on record to say, Mayor, it's just an honor to serve with you, your leadership, colleagues. I want to say it to y'all. It is an honor to serve with my colleagues. Y'all have done a yeoman job of working together. Without question, there is give and take along the way. Man, tomorrow's a brand new day when it's all said and done. The nation, the world, recognizes the city of Dallas is one of the premier cities in the world, and it's because of vision. And it's only getting better. We got a brand new year in front of us, and it's only going to get better. But again, it's just an honor to serve with y'all. It really is.
Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mary. And let me just say, having gone through, I guess, eight now budgets, that the issues always come down to, how good a job did the manager do on getting this budget together? And I'm just going to say that she's done a great job. If we're only arguing about 0.00013, that means the greater portion of the issues that we were concerned about from this time last year have been addressed. So, Ms. Gilmore, I thank you and your staff for doing a really good job. I also want to say on the budget meet, the town hall meetings, that many of the questions that were asked were already addressed in the budget. They just, we have to reiterate the things that are important. On the issues regarding recycling, I think, we have a plan on when we're going to do it, and we can certainly look at the plan. I think the quality of life would be a good committee to look at that, how we're doing on the plan, if more companies want to, or more districts want to be engaged. But, I think one of the key components is that we are doing recycling citywide, and to get to that point of doing it in more districts, again, in October 1, we need to go ahead and look at the budget. Let's get them online for next year, especially the ones how you can transition it. And we also have other issues we need to address for next year's budget, especially as it goes to sanitation. And I will say the biggest gripe I hear in my district, and I know a lot of other districts, is that when we raise a fee on sanitation, we're raising a fee on people, even those who are as less fortunate and lower incomes. And while we're saving on the one side on the property taxes, we are passing it on to people on the sanitation fee. So it's not, that's one issue we need to look at and work on for next year. But overall, it was a great budget. It was a good budget. I think it addressed a lot of the needs. And I think, as has been said, we don't always get everything on that 0.0013, but I think overwhelmingly our citizens appreciate that we have more officers, and we're working to keep the city cleaner. We're participating with neighborhood groups to help keep their neighborhoods clean, and that's the focus of it. Because when you look at how we're doing today compared to where other cities are today, given the a lot of things that have happened even recently, then certainly we should appreciate where we are and see how we can best help each other to do better for next year. Thank you.
Mr. Cain, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just thank you once again, Ms. Sim, and your staff for all you did and have done for this budget. I know it's been a long road, and most of the times when we've called you the past 3 months, you've been working on the budget. So thank you all so much, and thank you, Ron, for all your work, because you did a great job, because you pulled everybody's objections together and had something for everybody in those amendments, and that's why it was so unanimous. Thank you for all you did there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Dr. Arcia, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And in closing, I just want to thank you, Mayor, for your leadership, as well as Ms. Sum and her staff for a well-done job. Overall, this is the best, most complete, better-rounded budget that I have been through, and I've been here for the last 7 years. We started 3 months earlier. We went in every single direction, from the zero budget that Mr. Rosensky likes, all the way to different aspects and different ways of calculating the same thing, the price of government. I think that every single briefing, and I went with Mr. Cook through every single briefing, we were reminded when the amendments were due. As far as September 5th, we got another reminder that the amendments were due today. I think that we did our job. We went out to our districts. We asked for the most important input, our citizens' input. And in this amendment that we just passed today, in my opinion, that input was integrated. Colleagues, I think we did a good job. I have been very, very inspired by all of you. As you know, this is my last term. I'm a lame duck, and God bless term limits. But, you know, I feel I'm leaving this city in good hands. The participation you have put into, the communication with each other, the enthusiasm, that's what government is all about. And I've been very impressed with the fact that you are ready to work with each other. And let me tell you, that has not always been in the past. And especially because you are not waiting for people to come and look for you. You're out there working with each other and together. And I love that because, in my opinion, that's the best government. Not the egocentric person that thinks people have to come to me, and if they don't come to me, take the high road and I leave. That's not correct. That's not the right approach. Not everybody got what they wanted in this budget, but Mr. Newman, we hear you. And you can be assured that your colleagues will not let you down. I agree with you how important the recycling is. Trust me, I've been in those trenches for a long time. But it will come. This Wednesday we will work on another project, Mayor, about recycling with businesses. Something that we haven't done. And that's exciting. I will continue to create the support and the base, Mr. Newman, that you need for having it in District 3. So I'm energized by the fact that we continue to work together. The budget increase was only 1.62%, less than the inflation rate that we're having. So that's a big deal. Overall, I just want to say, Mayor, Madam Manager, well done. I'm excited. And I look forward to continue working with you because the first and most important thing that all of us have here today is we care about our city. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, everybody. We're recessed. Mary, thank you very much. We appreciate your work, and all of my colleagues appreciate it. Thank you. And let's work for a no-tax increase next year.
Are we going to vote to meet?